Next up is Bread and Butter, a culinary chronicle with Lael Gilbert.
Nothing is more American than ketchup. You might have thought our nation's heart was found in apple pie, but honestly, when's the last time you had an apple pie on your dinner table? If you're an average American, you've probably eaten ketchup several times in the past week. Ketchup, in my opinion, is the tangy lifeblood of American cuisine. As omnipresent as it is, until recently, it never occurred to me that someone could make ketchup from something besides a tomato. But thumbing through the complete book of home preserving, I found not one, but three recipes for ketchup. One of them called for half tomatoes and half peaches. Another required fennel, a vegetable that looks like celery but tastes like black licorice. Other recipes I found online require 4 cups of chopped rhubarb or molasses or even maple sugar. My friend Brooke makes her own ketchup at home. She also makes things like jam and whole wheat bread soft enough to make sandwiches out of. Plus, she grows stuff in her yard and puts it in bottles. Her kids eat it and are happy and well-dressed and always have their scout shirt on when they're supposed to be wearing them. Brooke is efficient, kind, cheerful, and has hair that is eternally tiny. You know the type. I don't hate her, actually. She gives me food, which helps, including a bottle of homemade ketchup. Her recipe came from her late Grandpa Taggart from Lewiston. Brooke doesn't actually call it ketchup. She calls it hot sauce because that's what Grandpa Taggart called it. But her version has all the things a good ketchup needs. A whole box of ripe tomatoes, run through a food mill, vinegar, onions, salt, sugar, and spices, including cinnamon, clove, ginger, and nutmeg. She adds either chopped chili peppers or, if she feels like it, some good hot sauce. It takes a full day of cooking to get it to the consistency she likes. Toward the end, when it's getting really thick, she has to stir it constantly so it doesn't scorch. Grandpa Taggart would simmer the pot one day, put it in the fridge overnight, and finish it off on day two, she says. When he passed away, Brooke started making ketchup as a memorial to him. It's a labor of love. It takes her a good 6 to 8 hours on the stove, simmering, bubbling, and requiring a lot of stirring. See, she's nice. Brooke's ketchup tastes different from your typical skinny neck bottle of Heinz. It brings to mind garden tomatoes and cinnamon sticks. It's brighter and lighter than the store-bought variety, since much of the sweetness comes from the tomato itself rather than added sugar. And the heat gives it a nice intensity and helps all the spice ingredients to pop. The thing I like best about Brooke's ketchup is that it reminds me that even though we make a lot of assumptions about what ketchup should taste like, in real life, there isn't one ketchup taste, no matter what the Heinz company tries to convince us. Which is pretty American, if you think about it. We can have an infinite variety of ketchups, and it just makes eating fries more interesting. It doesn't threaten Heinz or Hunt's or Del Monte. There's room enough for peach ketchup and rhubarb ketchup and even banana ketchup. Maybe just pace yourself when you're trying the new ones. And throw in some mustard, too. This is Lael Gilbert for Bread and Butter.